It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. The year was 1968, and the automotive industry was in a panic mode, looking for a prototype crash dummy that could be used as an average male, large male, and small female. Who did the brilliant minds of American ingenuity turn to?
The police!
Recent historical records have surfaced proving Alexander Graham Bell's first telephone call in 1876 was not his assistant, Mr. Watson, but to
the police,
asking him to order Chinese. Ladies and gentlemen, fresh from a crash test at Yucca Proving Grounds, your host, Paul Lavoie.
Captain Radio here, inviting you to another episode of the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show.
All right, thank you very much, Captain Radio, Lee Schoenblum, and guess who's here? Dan DeLosantos.
Well, I am.
You're not on the phone.
Yeah, I know, right?
That's awesome.
It's amazing, and I'm thrilled to death to say that we made it through that show, and we're having a fun show today. It's going to be an interesting topic.
This is Havasu Pioneers Radio Show number 76.
Wow.
You remember that year?
Yeah, it's the year I graduated.
I used to have a 75 Vega, and it was red, white, and blue for the bicentennial. That was my first car.
Wow.
Yeah. Funny, right? The hatchback.
We couldn't afford new cars in 76.
Not here. Not in Havasu. Anyway, that's Dan DeLosantos. I'm Paul Lavoie. Welcome to the show, broadcasting live from the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with No Sink, and the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, of course, brought to you by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. We got three special guests today.
Yes, we do. And so we have Kathy and Lance Matzdorf with us today, and we have Karen Hopkins on the line with us. She's going to be our additional guest speaker today, and we're going to be talking about the trailer park, the origin of the city, if you will. Back in the day, there really wasn't anything. There was, in fact, the airport right after the military left, and there was the trailer park, along with the cafe, which was the only place that you were going to find liquor in the beginning. Somebody asked us what the first bar was, and that was, in fact, the very first bar there was in Lake Havasu City. And Kathy and Karen, you know, they grew up in that trailer park. And we've had our Kathy on with us prior to this show a couple years back. But we wanted to follow up because we talked about the history, which was the military presence, and we talked about some of the beginnings of the trailer park. But I want to talk about living at the park today and what it was like. I think what a lot of people don't realize, there wasn't big options. And so, Kathy, why don't you do me a favor and start off with how your folks did get here and what transpired?
So my folks came out here following a winter
there
in Indiana, and they came out in the spring and on a McCullough flight, free flight. My dad worked at a factory in Indiana, and McCullough was going around to different factories there offering these free flights out here, and so they took it and bought a piece of property with the intent of moving out here someday. That winter was so bad, my dad was shoveling snow out of our attic because the wind blew it in through the side vents. And we left mid-March to head out here to Arizona because he wasn't going to live through another Indiana winter. So
wow.
We arrived on April 1st and here in Lake Havasu. And my first comment was, I was 6 years old, and I said, this is a really bad April Fool's joke.
Oh, my gosh.
I want to go back to Indiana with Grandma.
Oh, my gosh. And this was 1968, right?
68, yeah. So that's, and my dad goes, nope, that's not an option. House is sold. We're done. We're staying. And so we were living in a hotel for about a week or so. My mom got a job down at the trailer park cleaning the rental trailers, and then we moved into one of those rental trailers. And then a month or so later, we bought an 8-wide, 40-foot trailer, and that's what my sister and I, my mom and dad, and our dog lived in. My sister and I had to share a bed. It was a bedroom that, that people walked through to get to the back bathroom and the back bedroom. So there was zero privacy, zero room.
Oh, my gosh.
And then shortly after that, my dad was doing construction. He was actually working on the Redwood Apartments. He was not happy with the construction crew because it's not how he was taught to build homes. His dad was a contractor in Indiana. And my mom was cleaning the travel trailers down at the trailer park. And something happened with the current managers, and they asked my mom if she wanted to be the office manager. And she said, sure. And then she asked who they were going to replace the other man that they had let go with. And they go, we're looking for a somebody that can do general maintenance. And she volunteered my dad. And so he got the job. And
whether he knew it or not, he had the job.
And you're sitting at this table because your father was voluntold.
Yes. Well, again, he wasn't real happy working factory. He's a hands-on type guy. He's
right.
Not a sit and work at a factory type person. So it was perfect. He did all the maintenance there. My mom handled the office. And we bought a double-wide trailer, two-bedroom, but at least we didn't have people walking through our bedroom all the time. And from then, we bought a bigger trailer. It was a three-bedroom trailer when they opened the new section, and that's where I lived until I graduated high school.
Well, I remember your dad as a kid going down there to the lake, and we had our cove down there for our houseboat. He was a my-way-or-no-way type of gentleman, and I don't think I ever see him crack a smile around me, but, you know, I imagine he probably had his moments.
A few.
Okay, and that's good. And of course, you know, a quick hello to Roger Fisher, if you're out there listening. I certainly knew his dad and times that we had spent out there. And I believe Roger spent a little time down there on the houseboat as well. His dad built an airplane inside of his trailer. And so one of the things I wanted to talk about today and what Kathy's sharing and Karen's going to be able to as well, these weren't homes, these were trailer parks. This, and some of these people, let's talk a little bit about the transition of what it was like to move to Havasu and end up there while you're waiting for your house, right?
True.
What's it like to have to stay in the trailer park and you know that we some of them weren't trailers?
No, and I'll let Karen take that over because she was older when she moved here.
Okay.
It probably has a better memory than I do.
Okay. Karen, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing great.
I moved to Lake Havasu in 1972. The reason I got there is my mother and father actually got divorced in 71, and my mom remarried in Las Vegas, and they got a phone call. They called my, godfather, and he had bought, he went on one of those flights from Chicago and bought a lot in Lake Havasu. And since my parents were in Vegas, they said, hey, let's go drive to Lake Havasu and check this out. With that, I got a phone call when I was 12 years old that I was moving to Arizona. And it's not a good time to move when you're 12 years old. You have all your girlfriends and stuff. And my sisters were older and married. So it was just me, my mom, and my new stepdad. So I was not real thrilled, let me tell you. I was thrilled for the first couple of months until I did live at, when we first got there, we didn't know what to do, so we just went to that Crazy Horse campground, and we stayed there for about 2 months. And then my mom and stepdad actually bought a trailer in the Lake Havasu trailer park, and that's where I met all my buddies, Cindy Haw, Kathy Francis, Tony DeBolt, Terry DeBolt, me, we were like the squad. And then, of course, we had Curtis we call him Spanky.
Yep. Yeah, there's a lot of people listening to the show that know exactly who you're talking about. Tell us a little bit more about the 2 months in Crazy Horse, because I've never actually talked to anybody that stayed there for that period of time back in the day. What was it like?
It was awful. It was awful. I'm from Chicago. It's like we would go to Lake Michigan once, maybe twice, maybe I remember, but really was not a lake girl. I knew how to swim because we had a public swimming pool in Chicago that we would go to every year, but it was interesting. We were on a red international truck. I remember this. And it was like just those cab over campers, you know. So I had to sleep where the kitchen table was, I think. And I remember just getting up every morning and just going outside. I just stayed outside, and I would meet the people who were coming in and had a lot of fun times. People would take me out on their boats and stuff. And then we were really excited when we finally got to have a trailer and actually a home. And that's, again, where I met all my best friends. Cindy lived actually right across the street from me. Kathy and Tony lived a little bit down. I think they lived in the newer section. I was in the older section.
Wow, okay. That's what, and, you know, I got to tell you, that's that time of life here in Lake Havasu City, that was actually probably pretty well off. If you look at the rest of the city, it was pretty much empty. There wasn't much out there. We saw a few homes.
Yeah, we lived kind of like in a paradise. I know we'd come home from school, we'd do our homework really quick, and then we'd all just meet up on our bikes, and we'd just be gone all day long until I had to be home before my mom got home from work, and I had to clean and start dinner. And I would do that in like 4 seconds because I did not want to use my playtime.
Hey, I want to let our listeners know they can text in any other questions they have for Karen and Kathy. At KNTR Talk?
No, it's the phone number's there.
Oh, it's phone number's there.
Yeah.
Okay. So you can text it on 928-727-5566. Again, that number is 928-727-5566. And if you have any questions or any info you want to share, you can send that over, and Paul will grab that right off the line.
The KNTR Talk text line.
There we go. Perfect.
All right.
So, anyway, Karen, tell me, you know, you talked about having fun. You know, what did kids do? Now, Kathy shared a little bit with us a while back, but I'd like to hear your perspective on that.
Okay, well, what we did, basically, like I said, we were never home. At weekends, for sure, we were just never home. And we treated that trailer park, that was our place, okay? We owned it. It was ours. Like, we just did everything there. We used to go to the rec room. There was a huge rec room there with pool tables and ping pong and big leather chairs. And we'd hang out there. And, of course, the pool. We were always in the pool. If we weren't in the pool, we were at the docks playing duck tag, which got to be really interesting sometimes. Terry and Tony would like to chase Kathy and I around. And there was always spiders, and I got freaked out. But then this one time, we decided that we should tie bricks onto Cindy Hall's legs and throw her in the lake.
Whoa. Are we admitting felonies here? Wow.
Yeah, I'm gonna say, yeah, that's crazy, but she survived and she's still alive. It's a miracle. We did a lot of stuff in the trailer park as far as using, like, the showers. We would all, you know, after dinner, we'd all meet up and we'd all go down and take a shower and just have a time of our lives, and then we'd go home. So a lot of times these trailers were very small. We shared one bathroom with our parents and stuff. So us girls would just go down to the public showers and shower. And then one time we were just bored, and we were hanging out. There was a laundromat there. So we'd hang out, see if people left quarters, you know, whatever we could do. Well, we decided to put Cindy Hall into a dryer. Okay. And we watched her go bump, bump, and I couldn't handle it. She was like dusty, and I pulled over the dryer, and her head did clunk about two or three times, and I opened it up and pulled her out. Because I don't know what would have sincerely happened, but we just did things that were kind of crazy, but it's because we could. We had no adult supervision, to be honest with you. Of course, Kathy's dad driving around on the little Cushman would catch us doing things, but we absolutely, I don't think I would complain about growing up there at all. It was just, we were free.
Well, you tell our listeners that are listening to these fun anecdotes, you know, you got to remember back in the day, everybody's standing around, says, my turn, I'm ready. What's it like
exactly.
in the dryer?
Well, and that's the other thing is we learned that if you put it on cool cycle so it wasn't hot and you braced yourself, you could actually just go in there and spin around.
It's like a free carnival ride.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that was.
It only cost a dime.
Yeah, that's what
we told
Cindy when we put her in there. It'll be fun, Cindy. Clunk, clunk.
Oh, man.
I do have to confess that we did hang out by the Big Crooked quite a bit.
Oh, the Big and Crooked, the houseboat, right.
The Big and Crooked. That was kind of like our little cove. And we used to go up there because we were younger. I was 12. I think Kathy was, the other girls were like 11. So we were kind of young, and we would just go on there and pretend we were like partying and stuff. We didn't know what we were doing. So we had a lot of fun
doing
that. Speak
for yourself, Karen.
Kathy, do you remember when we used to go to the airport?
Yes.
And what did we do at the airport?
Hey, we're going to hold that real quick. I want so you'll all come back and listen. We're going to take a quick break, and we're here with Kathy Matzdorf and Lance, and we're here with Karen Hopkins, and we're going to be right back talking about Site 6.
All right. Play some Little River Band going out. How's that sound? Music from the 70s, right? We're talking about 1972 right now. All right. Back with more in a moment. It is the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. Again, episode number 76.
Right.
24 more, and we're at 100. Are we going to make it, Dan?
Yeah, well, we've been doing this show since 2019, I looked up, and I went, wow.
Wow, that is a long time.
It is a long time.
All right, back with more in a moment. Of course, the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show brought to you by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. Again, you can text in your comments or questions, stories, say hello, give a salute to our guests, and that's 928-727-5566. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. All right, a little Blackfoot from back in the day. And I don't know if you know this, Dan, but the entire band were Blackfoot Indian.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Excellent band. Highway Song. You know that song, right?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Also, love those guys. Sorry. Also, Mojave Electric Cooperative by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. TWN Fiber Internet by Salmon's Air Conditioning. Also, A&B Propane. And by Western Arizona Regional Medical Center, and of course, the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show brought to you by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. And I'm going to turn it back over to you, Dan.
Well, thank you. Just before we get started up again, I want to give a quick shout out. We've lost a couple pioneers and local friends, Todd Miller and Neil Hoover, just recently passed away. So, best thoughts and wishes to their and prayers to their families. We certainly will miss them. They were really exceptional people. Anybody that doesn't know, Neil Hoover was part of the local Lake Havasu ski team, and Todd Miller was actually the man who built the Dixie Bell.
And I'll be done.
So
the original.
The original boat.
Wow.
We actually had him on the show here at one point. So, but we're here with Kathy Matzdorf, and we're here with Karen Hopkins, and we're going to go into our next mode, and I think we're going to talk a little bit about Kathy.
So one of our favorite weekend Saturday morning activities we had is we'd all get together down at the rec hall, and then we would walk around what was called the circle. It was a circular area where people had travel trailers, and through the mobile home park, because we had people coming in from California, usually out-of-towners, and we were seeing who was there and who we were going to party with for the weekend and who we could scab a ski ride off of. And so that was always our big Saturday morning thing, is just to go around and see who's there and make our plans of what we're going to do for the weekend with who.
We were checking out the guys.
Yes. Very much
so. Truth be honest. Okay?
So anyway, that was kind of the trailer park life. We had so many friends from other places and acquaintances. Some of them I have still kept in touch with. So it's just kind of a cool place to live.
So what our listeners may not realize is that the trailer park was a community.
True.
And when we say that, at the time it was the only community in all reality as far as living goes. So they were, everybody was in close quarters there. You'd see neighborhoods, of course, pop up later on. And, you know, they had to start creating those communities, if you will, especially the first one, I think, was Smoke Tree and McCulloch Boulevard, that area, because the comps, they needed to create comps so that the bank loans would go through. And they didn't have homes close enough to each other to accomplish that until they started with that kind of a project. So these people bought land in Lake Havasu City, but they had to wait it out, the transitional time frame. And building a house back then, you know, you didn't have the long list of contractors. You went to who was building homes and who was putting in air conditioning, and that's it. And you had to wait it out. And sometimes there was a waiting list. And so, you know, I think, Karen, this would probably really be a really great time. Why don't you talk about your dad and mom's positions here in Lake Havasu City and what role they played?
Sure. When we moved to Lake Havasu City, neither of my parents had a job, which is very interesting. My stepdad used to work as an air conditioning. He had his own air conditioning company in Chicago. So when he came, he worked for Pfizer Air for a while. And my mom, in the day, she always ran, like, restaurants and stuff. She was always a manager of restaurants. So when she got to Havasu, she decided she did not want to do that anymore. So she got a job at Herb's Food Town. That was the first place she worked, and then she worked at Foodland. And then my mom's name is Mae Bracken, and if you ever bought groceries in Lake Havasu, I guarantee she checked you out in either Herb's or Foodland or A.J. Bayless. My mother started working at A.J. Bayless the day it opened, and she worked there until the day it closed. So everybody knew my mom as Bayless Mae, and she was a lovely lady, and everybody really liked her, and that, to me, is really important.
She was an awesome cook.
And she was a great cook.
That's funny.
So, you know, that's an interesting nickname. How did she get that nickname?
Everyone, she just worked at Bayless, and she was Bayless May. In fact, if you go down to the London Bridge, I have the stone for her, and it does say Bayless May.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's how everybody knew her. Her license plate was M-A-E, and her last name was Bracken, so it had a B. So it was maybe. Maybe she'll come, maybe she won't be there. I don't know. But she was just a great lady, and everybody knew my mom. And that, to me, was, like, the most amazing thing. And my mom and dad used to do square dancing a lot, and we would go bowling together. Because back in the day, you made your own entertainment. There was not a whole lot to do. So you would make your own entertainment.
I recall those weekends with parents going out, and you're right, creating your own entertainment is what it took, and especially the kids. When somebody said go out and find something to do, well, we did.
We did. Us, Kathy, and the kids over in the trailer park, we would go over to the DMZ, which was at the airport, okay?
On the island.
This really sweet lady named Ann Minoni used to work there. And then she worked at the other DMV later in life because I worked at the Lake Havasu Ford, and I would take the cars over there for her in the day, and she would check the California stuff and everything. So her and my mom were really good friends. But us kids would go over to the airport, and one of them would distract Ann Minoni and start talking to her because she was only one there because it was the DMV. And then I would go over to the cigarette machine and put the money in and grab the cigarettes and run. And then everybody run with me. And then we'd go down to where the big and cricket was. And this is true, we did not inhale, but we did light those cigarettes and we pretended to smoke, okay? Because we thought we were so cool. We were choking to death, but we thought we were cool. And we used to do that out down by the big and cricket. You know, we could do that, and we'd also grab clams out of the water, and since we had our lighters, we could make a little fire, so we would get some clams, put it in a can of lake water, and watch those little boil till they opened up, and then we'd challenge someone to eat one.
Oh, my gosh.
I ran, because there's no way I was going to eat one of those. I think we made Cindy. Cindy was the one we always picked on. I don't know why.
You know, I just want to thank you for not burning down my houseboat. Thank you.
Yeah, just be careful with the language,
yeah,
okay? We're not a podcast.
Right,
okay?
Right.
Thank you.
Right.
I think I caught it in time, I hope.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you when you listen to the recording, you'll hear a beep. So,
yeah, we had beep some great times. We were just always busy. There was always, we just did stuff. I don't know, we made fun. Tag,
Miller's Folly, diving board.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I was just going to say. Yep, Cy Miller built that.
We put a shampoo in our hair, and then we'd go jump off boats, and then we'd say, we fell for pro. I mean, just crazy. We just made up this stuff. How long can we stay underwater in the pool? How many somersaults? I mean, we just challenged ourselves. I think that was the best part.
Well, that's awesome.
We had no one else.
So, yeah, you know, the trailer park, you know, we talk about it, and I've looked at photos. If anybody's looking at the post that's on the Havasu Pioneers page, it's really in its infancy. And I've actually seen earlier photos than even that it's shown where it was just a handful of campers. So the trailer park actually took on, you know, it grew. It changed. So from the time you got there, Kathy and Karen, you know, it evolved into what? How would you describe what it went from and to what?
Well, it went from just the original circle that had the travel trailer stuff on it and the first permanent trailer section, and they've added on like two other full sections since then. So the size of it is just grown.
It's huge now, yeah.
Yeah,
it's and the huge. Prices are crazy.
Yeah. I said we lived in a $500,000 trailer park. If we had lived out there now.
Yes, we lived in the lap of luxury, yes. You know, back in the day. And that's true. It's true. So we're going to take another quick break. Again, we're here with Kathy and we're here with Karen talking about Site 6, the trailer park. And we'll be right back.
So I don't know if you guys know this or not, but Marissa June gave me a heads up. It's Bob Seger's birthday today.
Is it really?
Yeah, he was born on this date in 1945. In Lincoln Park, Michigan.
That's amazing.
How about that? I think Lincoln Park is from Lincoln Park.
I would think so.
Well, there's also, I think it's in New York City as well, so not sure on that. I could probably get a phone call and get corrected for sure. All right, back with more on the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. Don't forget, you can send us a text. We actually have one. I'll read it possibly when we come back. I have to read it first. So 928-727-5566. We'll be back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. I don't know about you, Dan, but as far as Seger goes, that's one of my favorite songs right there.
Very cool.
That is a great mellow tune. He's got a lot of good storylines in his music, you know. All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by Springberg Wealth Management, also by The Chair, Laughlin Ranch by Mojave College, Shooter's Outpost, also Solar Power by Esme Electric, by Doritos Place, and by Legacy Rehab and Care. And don't forget, the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show brought to you, made possible by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. And when it comes to shopping, you want to shop local, spend local, eat local, and play local. And this episode will be up, I'd say, if you missed any part of it, by 12:15 this afternoon. 15 minutes after the show, Marissa June, she's like the Federal Express of posting radio shows on the internet. So there you go, Dan.
Oh, man.
She posted it quick.
Holy cow. So, yeah. You know, I'm sitting here across from Lance, and he and I are absorbing all these fun stories and things. So, Lance, what do you think? I mean, is this some of the fun memories we all can share?
Oh, absolutely. And I started out, of course, at Crystal Beach, and then my parents felt very fortunate that they had a mobile home to live in, because a lot of people were living in the tents on the beach back in the day, because even think about the builders and stuff like that. They were building homes for other people and not necessarily for themselves. And I don't know how long it took to have a home built back then, but we stayed at the I'm probably going to get the name wrong. Reese Apartments.
No, it was Reese Apartments.
Was that the first name? I know I had a couple of Anderson was the other.
Yep.
And we stayed there until our home was built on Cliff Rose in the FHA track. And that was my little neighborhood, but it wasn't as fun as Kathy's. And
you want to go to the text?
Yeah, in just one second. Okay. So, you know, I want to touch on something. You know, when you mentioned the tents, we didn't have hotels here.
No.
And so when you came to town, especially during the London Bridge dedication, where did everybody stay?
Havasu Hotel or the Nautical Inn.
Or the Nautical Inn, that was it, right? Yeah. Well, we had a lot more people than they would hold. There's no doubt about that. So it's if you came here to Havasu and there wasn't a place to stay, you were tenting it, or unless you had a camper. And there was only one road in at the time.
Correct. So,
that's right. Very up and down.
So we have a text that we got. Paul, why don't you go ahead and share it with us?
A little surprising here. My mother-in-law is Cindy Hall, now Cindy Daniel. I'm laughing so hard at these stories. She's a resilient woman, and I now know where that comes from, her several brushes with death. So there you have it. We actually have another one. Let me read them for. Oh, there's a couple of them. Hi, Dan. It's Roger F. I'm listening.
Roger
and
Fisher.
I was just texting in to say hi to you, and he waved also, and Kathy.
Thank you, Roger. Appreciate it, buddy. We're glad you're listening to the show.
And then we got a hi, Karen, Kathy, Lance, and Dan. Tony DeBolt here. We moved to Havasu in 1965 and lived on the point before moving to the park when the permanent park was open. I made lifetime friends. What a great childhood.
Well, Kathy, Karen, you guys should respond to her.
Yeah. Thanks for chiming in, Tony. We did have a great time, and we did some crazy stuff. And the best memory I have is getting up at 6 in the morning and loading up your dad's ski boat. So when he got off at the McCullough factory from working the night shift, he'd take us all out skiing in the morning before he went to bed. And that was such a great memory.
I love that story about people that took their boats to work.
Well,
and you heard so much.
You know, I'll tell you what that describes, just so everybody understands. McCullough had three shifts. So you had to live your life based on that shift. And some people were starting out at 6 a.m., 7 a.m. in the morning. Other people were starting their day at noon, and others were starting it off at midnight. So, you know, you did whatever the time allowed. And so taking the boat to work, it was very common because during the summer months, contractors only worked till about 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning. They were on the job by about 4 and sometimes 5. But they would tow their boat, and they'd have a nice chest filled with beverages. And the crew knew if they did a good job and got it done in time, they were heading to the lake. If not, they got to sit there and you know, hang it out, get it out, and sweat. So,
and look at the lake, yeah.
Right, and so they make no mistake, the work got done, they were on the water. If you weren't on the water in a boat from work, you were in one of the local hangouts, one of the bars, starting at about, you know, 10, 11 o'clock noon, buying your 75-cent beers, so... The Old Rangers or Crazy Ed's was one of them. Laura's Italian Desert Restaurant, you know, Mario's, things like that. I mean,
Ruthie's,
absolutely. And so we had a handful of those establishments that were part of it. Now, when you came along, Kath, well, tell me, do you recall what restaurants and things like that were available?
The Poorhouse, I recall, and later on, kind of interesting, my phone number was one number off from what the Poorhouse's phone number was. So I would get phone calls at 1 o'clock in the morning, like, is Bob still there? And I said, no, he just left with some blonde girl about an hour ago.
Nice.
I love that. Yeah, I was just thinking when you answer the phone, you know, wait a minute, I thought this was supposed to be the bar. Where's he at?
Yeah. But
I love it.
Yeah, I always knew when I got that midnight or 1 a.m. call that it was probably someone trying to reach somebody at the Poorhouse.
Right. Oh, man, that's funny. That is funny. And it turns out my dad, Bob Jewett, worked with your dad, Karen. And what was your dad's name?
His name is Jim Bracken.
Yeah, he worked with Pitzer, right. They both worked with Pitzer at that same time frame.
That's amazing. These stories are great. I did want to bring up one thing. Like I said, when we moved here, neither of my parents had jobs, And my mom decided that she wanted to be a grocery clerk. So if you ever bought groceries in Lake Havasu at any time between 1972 and 1990-something, my mom would have probably had checked you out. My mom worked at Herb's Food Town and Foodland, and she also worked at A.J. Bayless. She worked at A.J. Bayless from the time it opened until the day it closed.
So, and Karen, when did you, what happened to you? Did you work here?
I worked several jobs. My first job was at Tasty Freeze. I made $1.25 an hour. I worked with April Ellison, and at that time I was dating Tim Bobzien. I was not married yet. And he would, my stepdad would drive me to work because I was only 15. And my soon-to-be husband, Tim, would pick me up.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
We had a lot of fun doing that, yeah. And, of course, I had my first baby there in 1977. I did work, I kept working in Lake Havasu. And all my other friends went off to college. I was a mom, so I stayed in Lake Havasu and did several odd jobs. And later on, I actually started working for Mission Linen. And it's kind of an interesting story. Mission Linen is a very huge company. And I, to this day, was the very first female truck driver for the Mission Linen Company worldwide.
Oh, my gosh. Well, my mom, Mary Jo Jewett, actually worked there as well. And so that's fascinating. You have more of a tie. You're the real American Graffiti gal. I mean, everything you just described was right out of the movie. I mean, and it was sort of the real thing. So that's pretty fascinating. Kathy, what about you? What was your first jobs?
I worked at the mobile home park out on the island. Actually, when I was six, I was helping my mom clean the trailers out there.
Wow.
And then I took on, when I was about nine, cleaning the office and the trailers. And then when I turned 14 and could work in the office, I worked in the office checking people in and calculating utility bills and giving people the ice key to get ice out of the ice machine or the pool cues to go down to the rec hall and play pool or shuffleboard or ping pong. We had all the equipment there in the office. So that's what I did from day one. I worked every Saturday and Sunday in the office, and then I worked Monday nights the night shift because it was very slow, so I probably wasn't going to get woke up in the middle of the night.
Right.
Do you remember actually working when you were six, and did you get any actual work done, or was it just more being supervised?
Oh, I learned to clean toilets. I learned to sweep and mop floors.
Very good.
Yeah. I learned to make beds.
Wow.
No, my parents were workers,
right,
and that's how they raised us. We had to clean our own room at home all the time. We had to take care of the dogs. We had our chores, and part of my chore was
I'm absolutely in agreement with that. I was cooking my own food on the stove at 6 and 7 years old.
Oh, boy.
And if you didn't clean and do your own stuff, probably the only thing my mom did was doing the laundry because she was working two jobs, you know,
exactly,
a day.
That was a Havasu life. Everybody was working jobs plus.
Yeah.
Right.
Just to make it.
Kids spend it for ourselves. We had no choice.
Yeah. And I always liked the money I made. And then I also walked dogs for people at the park. My sister and I, Cheryl Hyman, we would go and stock people's trailers so they had their food when they came in. And then when they left, we went in and cleaned their trailers so they didn't have to worry about it. They were here for vacation, and that was it. So we'd have their air conditioning turned down for them. They'd have their beer and stuff. My mom would buy whatever it was they needed in there, and they'd pay us for doing it.
Oh, man. I mean, that was actually like heaven back then. And You own the gold mine if you had the ice machine. I mean,
That was the trailer parks. But, you know, we were very creative as kids to make extra money because our parents weren't going to give it to us.
Right. Absolutely.
They were not. It was up to you. You babysat somebody's dog. You babysat somebody's kid. You took on a chore. Somebody needed weeds pulled, whatever it was.
I'm with you 100%. I worked at Crazy Ed's. That's how I bought my first boat. And I bought it. Saved up all year, got this boat. Didn't realize I didn't have a driver's license. I was 15 years old, so I was still getting it to the lake. And, I mean, a lot of us drove around Havasu without a driver's license back in the day.
I can imagine.
My first boat, I was probably 10 years old, and it was my grandfather's. It was a little, like, 8-foot fiberglass dinghy boat, and it had an old seahorse outboard engine on it. It was probably 5.5 horsepower or so. And Karen and Tony and Terry and all of us would jump in it, and we'd go across the lake over to one of the beaches on the other side and just hang out for the day, and we'd run down to the nautical end cliff so we could jump off the cliffs, and then we'd come back. And
we did.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Karen.
So we did such crazy things that now you think about it, it's like, wow, we did that? Wow, we had no fear. We had no fear.
Dan, I'm curious, what was Lance's first job?
Mine would have been landscaping. It would have been the summer of seventh grade, and it was a combination. There was a guy that, of course, lived here. He did landscaping, and then on the side jobs would go to either California or something like that, pick up produce, and he'd sell the produce on the corner of Smoketree and McCullough. And I'm thankful for my good friend, longtime friend, Ken Mitchell. He was the one that told me, hey, you need to come on over and have some fun. And we had fun working, and it could be the middle of summer, and I don't know how we did it. The heat didn't bother us. We get sunburned the first part of summer. You'd peel, and then you were all set.
That's
for the rest.
It.
Yeah. So listening to that, you know, the resourcefulness, having the produce, things like that. I mean, Havasu was very resourceful in to each other. The community was always there. If you needed help, if you needed something, you know, the community, that the origin of who we are. You know, that's who the community is, Lake Havasu City. For those of you that are listening, you can always go to the Havasu Pioneers Facebook page. You'll find the posting for our shows each month. Also, you can go to kntrtalk.com,
right,
and you will find the Havasu Pioneers radio shows, all 76 shows. We have a couple missing in the very beginning in 2019, but all the rest of the shows are there for you to listen to. So if you ever want to learn more about Havasu, feel free to go on and listen. And, you know, just to let you know, our next show will be June 3rd on Wednesday.
Oh, very good. Are we taking it out, Dan?
Oh, we're taking it
out.
We
still got a little bit of time.
Well, we wanted to, well, first of all, I want to say thank you to Karen and Kathy and Lance. You guys, really appreciate you being here. You know, inevitably, you are the part of our history. And thank you so much for sharing that history with us.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So I can add something here. In 1976, I tried to learn to ski on this lake. It's the first time I tried to get up on skis. So, all right, Karen, we're going to say goodbye right here.
Okay. I had Kathy's dad actually taught me how to ski. He's Francis's dad.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, and we're going to take a short break. I'll come back. Dan, did you have anything else you wanted to stay for the last segment? We got a life jacket exchange to talk about and a few other things.
You know, you go ahead. We're good.
Okay.
And I'm going to look forward to be looking out for the next topic. We've got a lineup this year for almost every show, and I've got some amazing guests that will be coming aboard to talk about some fantastic stories.
Perfect. I should have read the note before I started the song. In 1972 on this date, thank you, Marissa June, Elton John released Rocket Man. But I don't know. I like Benny and the Jets a little bit better, maybe. All right. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out. I'll have a final shot when I come back. Again, Rocket Man released this date, 1972. Hard to believe, isn't it? All right, the Festival of the Arts coming up this weekend. It honors Mother's Day at Metcalf Park in Kingman, corner of Grandview and Beale, in beautiful downtown Kingman. Again, that's May 9th and 10th. So there you go, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on the 9th, 9 a.m. to 4 on Mother's Day. Arts and crafts, music, dancing, food, and more. Admission is free. And, yeah, have a good time. It's Kingman Route 66 Rotary Club. is presenting the Festival of the Arts in Kingman. Slider Safari coming up a week from, let's see, this a week from this Friday, May 15th, 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., London Bridge Beach, and live music, raffles, games, food, live music. Marissa June will be out there. She's getting about as busy as I am. So, yeah, that's presented by River Cities United Way, of course, sponsored by Unisource Energy Services, Dot Foods, and Foothills Bank. We'll talk more about that on Monday's show. Tomorrow we've got GOP State Treasurer candidate Elijah Norton on the show.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.